Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, let's begin with you. It is Valentine's Day, but there's not a lot of love between President Trump and Governor Cuomo. They had a big meeting yesterday. Tell us what that was all about.
Well, if you're a fan of the Godzilla movies, it kind of reminds me of that. It's the showdown between Godzilla and Mothra. You know, these two love to go head-to-head against each other. They both, for political reasons, like to have a political enemy to attack. And so there's a lot of theater going on right here. But ultimately, this is going to come down to Governor Cuomo is blocking the federal government from having access to state DMV records at ports of entry coming into our country. And so I think that the president is right on this issue, and ultimately Governor Cuomo is going to have to bend or buckle on this issue if he wants to be able to have those ports of entry open to travel again.
Yeah, he says he wants to compromise here, but he's already filed a lawsuit. So how's that work?
Well, again, I think that's just setting the political theater that's going on right now. And there's a lot of that kabuki theater that's happening, and you know, it's going to take to Twitter, I'm sure, and it'll be unfolding in the days to come.
Yeah, you know, it's ironic. Those two are a lot alike when you think about it, Cuomo and Trump. All right, let's head to Harrisburg next. And, Michael, just a couple weeks ago, we saw the House Speaker Mike Terzai announce he's done leaving politics, and now the Senate President Joe Scarnati. These are two of the most influential conservative voices in Harrisburg, and both of them are going to be gone next year. Should conservatives be worried here?
Well, I think it does leave a vacuum, and who will take the place of these two gentlemen in the leadership positions that are very powerful in making decisions in what happens in the Senate, in the House, and the future of Pennsylvania is a big question. Who's going to take their place? Mike Terzai, very much a pro-life champion, very much a champion on school choice, and Joe Scarnati was someone that we could rely on issues like the marriage amendment, where we were trying to get that through, and on the pro-life issue as well. Both of them, I think, did an adept job at trying to move conservative principles while keeping their caucus happy. And we're watching very closely about who will sort of rise to the top. And we have our favorites, and we have some that we would prefer not to see in those positions.
Yeah. Are they seeing something that we're maybe not seeing as far as where the political pendulum might be swinging in Pennsylvania?
You know, that's a good question, Bob. And I've asked some political prognosticators who have their ear a little bit closer to the ground on polling and, you know, wondering if they're going to lose the majority in either House or, you know, in the House or the Senate. That is a question mark. We saw what happened in Virginia, and it all depends on the voters. Nobody fully predicts what's going to happen in any election with absolute certainty. 2016 was an example of that with a presidency. So voters who care about the future of this Commonwealth need to turn out in 2020 if they want to affect issues as significant as who leads the Pennsylvania General Assembly.
All right. Bail reform continues to be a big issue in New York. We saw the Senate this week say, hey, maybe we should tinker with this. This isn't very popular right now, this elimination of cash bail for nonviolent offenders. What's going on in Albany right now, Jason?
Well, there's a battle that's unfolding between the Senate Democrats and the Assembly Democrats. Speaker Hastie's Assembly Democrats do not want to amend or repeal the bail reform legislation, but the Senate Democrats, who are new in their authority in that chamber, are concerned about losing seats in the upcoming elections. They're looking to modify the bail reform legislation. So whereas the Democrats have suburban seats they have to watch, they're very concerned about bail reform. But if you're really that New York City-centric Democratic Party, they want no changes. And so the battle is unfolding. And again, heading into this budget process, the rest of this session, it'll be interesting to see what happens before we head into the election season regarding so-called criminal justice reform.
There was an article this week, Michael, on Governor Wolf and trying to get taxpayers to sort of surreptitiously foot the bill to fund Planned Parenthood. How is he going about that, and is it legal?
Well, he has a line item in the budget for reproductive services that people suspect and really believe that it is a direct pipeline to Planned Parenthood. Pennsylvania law prohibits taxpayer dollars, state taxpayer dollars, going to abortion or organizations that perform abortions. So how the governor is going to pull this off is a big question mark, and we're watching very closely because he is a staunch ally of Planned Parenthood. He's been there as a clinic escort. He wears their vest, and he's taken significant campaign contributions from Planned Parenthood. Quite honestly, this looks like payback to them.
Yeah, 17,000 abortions performed last year in Pennsylvania because of Planned Parenthood. We are keeping our eye on that one for sure. Jason, interesting lobbying effort going on in Albany. I know the homeschooling lobbying effort is something that you're watching closely. They are now actively lobbying for participation in public school sports. Are homeschool families really advocating for this?
Some are. There is, I think it's fair to say that there's not 100% unanimity on that decision. This bill would allow school districts to allow homeschool students to compete for interscholastic sports. Mm-hmm. And from where we sit as an organization, it would allow parents to make the decision. If they want their children to participate in those school sports, they could be lobbying their districts to allow it, and they could do it. And if parents choose not to have their kids participate, well, they don't have to.
Yeah.
Admittedly, there are some homeschool families that are concerned about there could be some increased regulation that comes from this. I think that's a little overblown, to be honest. And there are other families that just want the opportunity for their kids to participate. Ultimately, this is a decision that's up to the parents, and we're just saying the districts could make the decision.
All right.
It's an issue to watch.
Okay. I know some homeschoolers want nothing to do with public schools, and there's others that may be a little more accommodating. So we'll keep our eye on that for sure. Well, hey, while we're in the classroom, Michael, a few weeks ago, you cited over 50 school districts in your state that are violating religious speech rights of students, kind of giving them an ultimatum, crack down on this or we will take action. Have you heard back from any of them yet?
Well, I'm happy to report that we've heard back from more than 20 school districts that have taken action based on the recommendations of our Independence Law Center to change their school policies or student handbooks to accommodate religious speech and to get in line with the United States Constitution and court rulings. And every day we're getting more of these calls and seeing news reports from different school districts that understand very clearly what the Constitution says. And we're happy that our attorneys at the Independence Law Center are letting the schools know the right thing to do. And hopefully there'll be no need for any lawsuits against school districts.
All right. New York education officials this week, Jason said, hey, we're listening when it comes to these equivalency guidelines between the public and private schools. They've been flooded with emails over this. I think over 140,000 complaints lodged here. What's going on? What's this issue all about here?
Ultimately, this issue is how much control the state will have over private schools. That's what's at issue here is, does New York State have authority over a local private Christian school or other school, but a private school?
Mm-hmm.
We're thankful for the response of over 140,000 individuals that that submitted comments. It caused a wake-up call over at New York State Education Department to say we better go slow on this. And it really is a great lesson for New Yorkers across the state to remind them that their voice does still matter. But we've got to rise up en masse when something that attacks our freedoms comes along.
Well, the April 28th primary is coming along here. It's on the same day, both New York and Pennsylvania this year. Michael, I know this is a big deal in your state, especially this year, because of some of the changes that are going to be coming, historic changes this year. What should voters be prepared for?
Well, a couple of things most notable about it. Number one, going into the voting booth, is there's no ability to just vote straight party. Until this time around, you could go into the voting booth and just click a lever or push a button that said, all Democrat, I'm voting for all the Democrats, or I'm voting for all the Republicans. That is not an option. You have to choose in each individual race. The other thing is what can be described as kind of early voting, which is voters can now apply for absentee or mail-in ballots beginning 50 days before the election, and they don't have to give any reason for wanting it. Previously, with an absentee ballot, you had to say you were going to be out of town or work would prevent you from being able to vote, and now it's more open in that regard.
All right, and just like that, our time is up. The fastest 10 minutes in radio, Capital Connection, every Friday during the Noon Report. Hey, if you've got questions about the great work going on at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, Jason, where can they find you?
albanyupdate.com.
And stay informed on the issues in Pennsylvania as well. Michael, where are you?
PAFamily.org.